14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome on in to the Put It in the Book show. Something weird is happening right now. Not sure exactly what it might be.
Looks like you guys have
right now.
By the way, I realize that I have a large mole on my face.
Where? What? Where's that mole? I didn't see one.
I also realize the irony that I am myself a mole.
No one would make that connection.
Anyway, well done, old chap. Jolly good work.
Yes, nice to mole you. Meet you. Nice to meet your mole. Don't say mole.
Stop.
I said mole.
Stop.
Bye.
Mole. Mole. Mole.
Oh, shut up!
Molly, 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 Molly.
Man, I haven't seen that in for such a long time.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. I like that.
There's a connection there to be made. The Molly, 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 Molly.
A little bit.
A little bit. Welcome on into our recap episode here on the Put in the Book show. We're going to talk about what's going on since last we spoke. Last we spoke, Mr. Stearns was just taking over, but there's been stuff that has happened since then that we have not yet spoken about on this show.
A couple of things.
Wow. A little too fancy out here. Look at that, little Lord Fauntleroy,
right? What is that thing we used to talk about in New York?
Yeah, but I feel like that's beyond our budget right now. But
hey, listen, we're stretching.
Glad
the
to have it.
Yeah,
glad to have it.
Just stretch the heck out of it.
Do and more with less.
Joe's, belts on his pants. Stretch the hell out of them.
All right, and then that's the current events stuff that we're going to cover, and then we're going to go back in time. We're going to hop in that DeLorean, 88 miles an hour, back to spring training, and see what we said was going to happen versus what really happened. Because what we said was going to happen is not what really happened. So
it happened most of the time.
Maybe. All right, so we'll get into all that and more right on the opposite side of our brilliantly produced, not by producer Joe, video open.
Oh, okay.
Now you get a leg. See what happens? You get wise. You get a poorly
get wise.
Produced show. And...
Put up the books!
All right, welcome back into our wonderful recap episode for the season. Is it foggy? You're out in San Fran right now, right? You're on a business trip, so is what it is. So before we get into that, really quick thoughts on what's going on in the postseason right now, Rodriguez. What's your thought? The Phillies just took a nice lead on the Braves. The Diamondbacks swept the Dodgers. What?
They're like the Buffalo Bills of baseball now. What's going on with them? They have
You're the second person to make that reference in 2 days.
That's a good reference. That's the first time I heard it. That's a good.
See that, Ferrazzi? Somebody appreciates me, unlike you.
We all appreciate you. All of us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
But the Dodgers were my hope to make sure that either the Phillies or the Braves weren't going to the World Series. But now they're gone. The Diamondbacks are my hope. My God.
And they just swept the Dodgers.
I know, it doesn't feel right.
Come on, it doesn't feel like the millennials. It's all about feeling.
Let's talk about emotional damage.
Apparently. I'm talking about my feel as to what happens, not my feelings. I don't feel good about the Diamondbacks.
You don't have feelings?
I don't have feelings. I can't have feelings around with friends like you guys in my life. I can't.
Shut up.
So my gut feeling, if that sounds better to you than my feeling.
Make producer Joe go bananas.
go. Look at this. See, Raul. Yeah, he did. He's been saying. But I'll be rooting for them against either the Phillies or the Braves, whatever happens.
Oh my god.
Guys, you got it's Rangers and Astros. So it's, as producer Joe would say, the battle of washed rags.
I don't have that much hatred in me for them. I really don't. I don't understand.
I don't hate Verlander.
I'm trying, but I do hate someone on the Rangers.
And so I mind DeGrom getting a title. Sorry.
That would be.
I said it. I was hesitant on saying it due to the ridicule.
Stop. You're a traitor too, just like him. Why don't you paint the T on your freaking fat forehead like Bullseye from Daredevil in the comic book? We'll stamp a T on your forehead. It'll never go away. Good Lord. Another traitor.
You see what you get around here? All right. So obviously it's anybody but the Phillies and
anybody but the Phillies.
The Phillies and Braves.
Anybody but the Phillies or the Braves.
But yeah, the Phillies are... The Phillies are proving to be really good right now. I don't like this whole thing about the Braves and the Phillies being good at the same time. I don't like it.
Those are two franchises and two friends that I have, two sets of friends that I have that I don't ever want them to win anything. Brian Holm, forgive me, God, but Brian Holm, you should never, ever win anything. And then you got Brian Holm sucks.
That's a blast from the past.
On the ball, producer Joe.
Dom says that he heard that DeGrom can't get a ring. I guess because he didn't. But why not? I'm thinking. Anyway,
he's on the roster.
But
it doesn't matter. Let's focus in on the Diamondbacks. To have any joy. No, let's focus back to the ground because I hate him. No.
We've spent enough episodes on the DeGrom hate, and there are more to come. Let's talk about all the Dodgers and Braves fans crying about the layoff that caused their teams to lose. I read a dissertation today by a Dodger fan that the Dodgers got outplayed and, we lost the series fair and square. But over an 11-day period, they played four games and it's the only stretch. And that's why they don't like the All-Star break. And you can't have you can't have the elite teams that earn a bye with that kind of a layoff. The retort to that is obviously, the Astros don't seem to have a problem with the layoff, So
there are certain teams that are built for it and certain teams that aren't.
You just played 162 games. You should be pretty fine-tuned by now. This layoff, should give your body a chance to rest and get strong. That's all it is. If you're an idiot, if you're going to say that the layoff is, you're too well rested to play baseball after 162 games and another 30 in the minor league in our spring training. Are you kidding me? Almost 200 games and you're upset by waiting 2 days?
They're very beasts of routine. And when they lose that routine, they have trouble getting back into sync. I'm giving you the argument I read. I'm giving you the argument.
I have the argument. I believe in the argument too. At the same time, you do want your routine. You don't want to go every seventh day, every fifth day, whatever it is. You don't want to do that. I get the routine. But at the end of the day, it's rest. This isn't about a routine. This is just about having common sense. You've been through a grueling year, 180, 190 games out of your body this whole year. If you take a couple of days off, you're not going to lose your baseball acumen. You shouldn't lose any of your skills. If you lose your skills in 2 days, you shouldn't even be in the majors anyway. So that's beyond the point. You should be fine. This is just becomes a common sense thing. You can't be stuck on jumping over the chalk line. You know, that's superstition. This is not superstition. This is just common sense.
Right. And if you don't like it, then don't win the division. I don't know.
Yeah, don't win the division. Go to become a wild card.
Don't do it.
Perennial wild card.
But that's what happened with the Mets and the Braves last year. The Braves won the division. The Mets won the wild card. But it was the teams needed the reverse for success last year.
The Mets needed rest. The Mets needed rest.
Yes.
Couple of days, maybe more rest for the Mets. They might have been able to do something because they were pretty shook up at the end of the year. They needed They needed that time, but it is what it is. Whatever.
And there's teams saying we got too much rest.
I know. Go figure that.
Billy Joel cannot handle pressure. The Dodgers, all right, yeah. The Mets and those.
Good point. Absolutely. You
know, Orioles, 101 win. Funny fact. The American
also
League
101 wins. Yeah, I know they had the NL, the AL East combination of wins.
But the Orioles are a young team. As far as the pressure of the playoffs and getting to the series goes, I the fact that they even won 101 games, I think is fantastic. Good for them.
Ahead of schedule.
So I give them a pass. I definitely give them a pass in whatever happens. But the Dodgers have experience. They have a manager who's been there. Players have been there. They have studs on that team. They do not get a pass, man. That's crazy that they got knocked out. Crazy. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Swept.
They should be ashamed of themselves.
That American League East, the last time that each American League East team was in the playoffs, they have been swept. American League East is like 0-18 in their last 18 playoff games.
Wow. And they've been a beast for a while. They were a good division.
But it's been Astros. And it's the Astros doing a lot of the damage to them over there. But,
let me say one thing. I'm sorry. I don't want to disrespect the Dodgers because they are a very good team and they won their division and they've done everything they can to get to the playoffs. Consistently, it's fantastic, but the fact of that their level of talent should be above what they're playing to. I mean, they're playing below their level of talent. I don't understand it. They come and they choke in the playoffs. A new manager might help, but
that's
probably what they're gonna do. Oh, the '90s Braves. Oh, that would be fantastic. If the Braves now become the 90s Braves.
The Dodgers are becoming them, but let the Braves become themselves.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
I hate them so much.
I do despise the Braves and the Phillies. See how you go back to being a true
it's
Mets
like
fan
so.
At the end of the day,
oh, I
you
hate
don't
them.
Want to talk about them, but you're going to see Brian Holmes' cheery, stupid face. That you can't really get mad at, and my other two buddies in Atlanta.
I don't have to think about. I don't have to think that anymore.
The other one's so annoying. Michael, you suck. Balls.
All right, let's get into the stuff that has happened with the Mets in the last few weeks. none of which is great. They get the president of baseball operations. Yes. Then comes, Buck Showalter announces that he's not going to be a manager of the New York Mets anymore. Ding. So he's gone. Then Billy Epler decides he's gone. I'm out. And the original story was, I want them to have a fresh start, which that was total bullshit from the start. Like, what? Really? No. So then it comes out that he's been under investigation for improper use of the IL, which now, after a bit of time, seems as though that is a practice, and we know this, but now it's being talked about, a practice Everyone that has been this. Long. It's been, what did we say this year when Cookie sucked? He's going to get hurt.
He's going to get
be away for a little bit, and he's going to come back, right?
Exactly.
So that's something that goes on all around the league. Players that are not going right. If there's a discussion had where you strongly are recommended to rest. Take a little break.
You need a little break. Yeah, like what they did to some big dude on. We have another. There's a guy that. That's DH on our team. What's his name?
He should have been improperly used on the IL.
Oh, Vogel fat, vegan fat, whatever. That guy, you got me on that one, Joe. You got me on that one. He should have been on the IL, on the DL, on the IR, on every single list you could find. The whole second half of the year, man. He stunted Mark Vientos' growth, and that's a shame. And that's not on Buck. Apparently, Buck wanted it. Now, let's talk about Buck a little bit for a second. Buck wanted that guy not playing, but Billy Epler said, hey, this would be like my third mistake after Joe's favorite ball player. No, I think it's yours, Farachi, right? Before he went to San Francisco, Darren Rudd.
Ruff? Oh, my God.
Ruff, Darren Ruff. Your favorite guy. That was a mistake. He's made a few mistakes, Billy Epler, but he's hit on a few also, and that's the nature of the game. But vegan fat, he should have been gone a long time ago.
And for Buck to get, I still don't agree with letting Buck go. I still think that he had a lot to give to this roster, to a lot of knowledge.
I think they should have kept him in the organization, maybe not let him manage the day to day. I don't know, but talk to Buck and say, Buck, man. Can we use you as a special advisor, special counsel? They do that all the time with these guys, special assistant to the GM, whatever it is, because that knowledge and just the calmness that he has about things, so he doesn't get that riled up anymore because he's an old manager. But that's a lot of experience.
When his just players
let
get hit.
Walk out the door, man. You let all that experience walk out the door. Just go.
I heard his camp is saying that he's interested in the Angels manager opening, which makes me sad because the Angels job sucks. I think Ohtani's going to be gone.
Trout is probably
going to get traded, and then what? He wants to continue managing though.
It suits him though. It suits him. He'll take a team, a young team, and mold it and get it in place, and then he'll probably end up retiring. That's kind of the way he's going to go out, it looks like. But he should really think about not managing anymore and doing the right thing, coming to help us. And, we could use his genius because in the baseball field, the guy knows a lot. And it's a shame that they let that walk out.
All that experience. Yeah, I'm not with it. Producer Joe, real quick, what did you think about – I think we were all kind of shocked when it happened because – first notification I got was that Buck Showalter was asked, and then he said, "We'll see." And then later in the same freaking press conference, he said, "It's been decided I won't be managing." So, producer Joe, what's your thought? Should they have kept him around at least in some capacity as a manager, or did they do the right thing?
Whether I think one way or the other, it was messy. It was. I have to say, typical Mets. It was poorly handled. It was Buck deserved better than that, and You know, I think they. Oh, see, I knew it. I knew it. Here, look. I'll change this the scroll.
All right.
But like I was saying, maybe they do want a whole new regime to pick their whole new staff. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. That's likely. But you know, it was handled poorly, and there's no reason that Buck couldn't have been offered a front office job to stay, because he might have taken it. You know, and it's a shame to lose him. So. Yeah.
Yep.
Mess. Right. It was messy, and it was very Mets-like. It was
messy, just, messy, messy.
I feel bad. I feel bad. All right. You know what?
All right. Isaac brings up a good point. Isaac also brings up a good point. Losing Buck's ability to very calmly handle the New York media market. That's it. That is, like it or like it or not, that's an important trait for a manager of either huge New York team. So I on the Council, way,
can Council do that? Greg Council, that's the front right runner for the that's
exactly
for the
where
job,
I was going.
So
what? Know. So Council on the outside looking in does not look like a New York guy, but there have been guys that aren't necessarily New York guys that have had success.
Remember Art Howe?
Do you know? You were just reading okay my mind. I was like, "Don't nobody mention Art Howe."
Okay. Remember Art Howe? That's all I'm gonna say.
Art Howe was a great manager. Didn't you see what a great job he did in Moneyball?
Oh my god!
They had to trade players for him
in a movie,
play guys
in another division, in another league, in fantasy world. Couldn't handle New York. That's the guy. You don't want Craig Council, which is a hard enough name to say, to be a manager that cracks. It's gonna be Craig Council cracks.
Yes,
that's it. That can happen.
CCC.
You know.
All right. Well,
there's
he's
other people
the guy
that might be available. There's other people that might
he's,
be available.
I don't want to. Producer Joe.
Producer Joe's favorite people. Right.
There's the talk about a little 10-minute discussion of the sweeping slider from producer Joe coming
up.
2 minutes. All right, so Craig Council is obviously the guy that everybody's talking about. His contract expires. There's all this stuff that's coming out. His contract expires October 31st. So if that's the route that the Mets are going to take, you got to wait until November 1st to have those discussions with him. And maybe there's some gentleman agreements on the side already. But they're going to do what they can to retain him. But if it's not him, there are other guys' names out there. And the very first one that everybody kind of pivoted to was Carlos Beltran.
Moly.
By the way, I realize that I have a large mole on my face.
If you say the
first
word,
step is admitting it.
If you say the word, he's gonna put it on.
That's right.
I'll play the whole 50-second clip the next time somebody says the word.
What word is that?
Is that a challenge?
Oh my god!
That's so, itchy trigger finger.
Monkey off the controls.
I regardless, and forget about the whole thing that happened with Beltran. Right? It's very hard to do the cheating scandal, the fact that I've seen him in a Yankee jersey. Those kinds of things.
The fact that he talked smack too about the team.
Right. About the team after he left.
I would have forgiven all that if he never done the cheating. I would have forgiven any just all the other nonsense because he's Puerto Rican. He would have been the greatest Mets in the field of all time, and he really is. But yeah. I would have really forgiven all that if he just didn't do the cheating, because that's hardcore. That's hardcore to do that cheating like he did, and he did it in the Skankies, and he did it with the Astros. So that's twice he did it. And you know, if you're being naive, if you don't think that's what happened, because apparently you just put the dots together, that's what he did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it just says a lot about his character, and that's the character you want leading your team. I know people make mistakes, but does he come back from that? Can he?
Bruh.
And why do we have to give him a chance?
I do want somebody with a good amount of experience, or you know, if it's not a good amount, like, you know, a 20-year guy, maybe it's a 10-year guy with success, like Council.
If you grab a Beltran, you better have a 20-year guy as his bench coach right next to him. Okay, that's the only way you want to grab a Beltran and put him out there to manage, because he can do a lot of the things nowadays that people need.
What? But give him a Don Zimmer,
but Don Zimmer is dead, right?
He is.
Of course he is. So, though, I'm talking about
like a Don Zimmer.
Yeah, good, so good. You got it.
Mo.
By the way, I realize that I have a large mole on my face.
Where? What? Where's that mole? I didn't see one.
I also realize the irony that I am myself a mole.
No one would make that connection.
Oh my God.
That's back when Beyonce was a single lady, right?
Listen, Beyonce could go back to any lady. I mean, to any time.
Bing.
There it is.
All right, so at this point, my vote is for Craig Council. I think Beltran would at some point make a good manager. I just don't want it to be now, where, you know, the talks about the potential of bringing in some bigger names in the off season. I want a guy with some experience in managing some big names. And I know Beltran gets along great with players and the such, but I don't know. The trust is not there. Not the trust that he's not going to cheat again. The trust in that he's got it in him to make great choices every day.
Right. Well, that's supposedly, that's what they say. He cheated too. Come on, stop. That's always going to be in the back of your head thinking, what are we going to get caught with? What are we going to get caught with? What's going to happen to this franchise?
We don't need that. The Mets.
And then we get.
Don't need that.
We're trying to climb out of the cellar, not stay around it, you know, not stay around that sewer hole. We need to get out of there, man. And guy like Beltran right now, I don't know. That's just me. I wish it would be different, because I used to really respect them a lot, you know. I used to really think highly of the kid. But, you know, it's tough. I'll take Craig Council.
So would you offer him let's say the Mets decide on Craig Council, would you offer Beltran a position in the front office, scouting type, maybe that kind
yeah,
of
thing? I would. You know what? I'm going to let this hatred for Beltran go for a second. And I think he may be a good candidate to help us, because they seem to respect him. Everyone seems to think he's knowledgeable. If that Andy Martino article is correct, you know, then I got to give him
baseball genius.
Yeah. Well, let's not get nutty. A baseball genius is cheating. You freaking cheater, Beltran. Anyway,
let's see what happens.
Just give him a chance. Just give him a chance. Maybe as long as he can help the Mets, I'm okay with it. And like everybody keeps reminding me, he's the greatest Mets center fielder of all time, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but people seem to like to say that. So, you know,
that's right.
Keith. How you doing, Keith?
Keith. All right, so let's move on past that, and now let's get into I have a little bit of fun with what we did back in spring training with some of the projections that we had and what actually happened. So I think
I was right like 100% of the time.
100% of the time. I have our combined numbers here. I don't have right in front of me our own separate ones. But just to give you an idea, I'll just go around the around the diamond. Pete Alonso, okay. we were way off on his batting average.
Absolutely.
It was not a batting average year. 271 last year. Just remind everybody that was just 1 year ago. He dealt with that thumb injury and probably stupidly went into the home run derby. And maybe he learns from that moving forward. But, the average that we had him at was 276, 48 home runs, and 127 RBIs. And he finished at 217, 46, and 118. 40, not bad.
So we were on with the
guys
numbers, but the average. I told you, I'm 100% right most of the time.
100% right, 67% of the time.
There you go.
That's right.
I'll take that.
Jeff McNeil at second base. Oh, we had him at three. God. We had him at 313.
Yeah.
We were off a little bit by that. We had him at 313, 12, and 69. He goes 270, 10, and 55, along with 10
killed that, bases. He killed our season. He hurt our season the most. I believe that freaking flying squirrel, if he would have hit his weight and done the right thing, the way he was supposed to hit, we would have had a much better season. He killed that season a lot of times.
What does he weigh? How much does he weigh?
210 to 20. I just had to say that. It just came out.
I was going to say he hit more Vogelbach's weight.
I wasn't looking for sense. What, 270? Yeah, that is true. That is Vogelbach. But you know what? He did that at the end of the year. The last couple of months is the only reason he even got to 270. The rest of the year, he sucked balls. And he can't be a slap hitter at 6'2". And stay in the majors. I don't care how many positions he plays. We'll get a kit for that and pay you a lot less money. See ya, squirrel.
Showing some speed on the bases, 10 stolen bases. Look at this guy. Flying squirrel.
That's great.
Flying squirrel?
Flying squirrel.
We don't need to go into the Eduardo Escobar fiasco. Remember he was on the team this year. He's going to the Angels. Yeah. Maybe he's on the Angels. Maybe that's why
he's Buckley's on the Angels. That's fun. Everybody loves him.
We did have him at 252, 17, and 61. A little off. Slightly off.
And how did he finish? Did you look?
You want me to look that up? Actually, producer Joe, can you look that up while we go through the rest of the Mets here? And see. We didn't lose anything there.
No, I don't think so.
He wasn't close to this. All right, shortstop. We got Francisco Lindor. People still love to complain about this man, and I'm tired of the hate. I don't understand it. 254 average was once like a 207 average.
More respectable.
Yes. 31 home runs, 98 RBI, 31 stolen bases, and just fantastic in the field.
30-30, played almost, what did he play, 150 games? 160 games, 30-30.
With a bone spur in his elbow.
Great defense, played every day, what do you want? That's our superstar right there.
He was top five.
Two superstars on the team.
He was top five mostly top three at shortstop in all the major statistical categories.
He's going to be a top five shortstop for the next 5 years, dude. Easily. So, that's what we have. We need to start winning now to use his talents to their utmost.
Yeah.
For who? What do you want?
For Eduardo Escobar.
As a Met or for the whole season?
No, for the whole season. Because as a Met,
236 as a Met for the whole season, 226.
Okay. Oh, so he went there and did worse.
Yes, he did.
Nice guy, but good move.
He's a nice guy, but you have to make a move. You have to get rid of him.
So he did not hit 252, is what I heard you say. How many home runs did he have?
For the Mets, 4 home runs, 2 more after that. 6 total, 31 RBI.
Oh, that's not even.
We had 17.
Let's erase them from our memories.
You're out of here. Brandon Nimmo, we had him at 289, 17, and 69, combined on ours. 274. What do we have? 289. 274, 24 home runs, found the pop for sure.
He exceeded it.
68 RBIs, and he led the team in hits with 162. And he played 152 games. He stayed healthy. All kind of came together this year. Rodriguez, he played well, was healthy.
We've been saying it for years that the kid plays every game, stays healthy, he's going to put up decent numbers. Now, 24 home runs, 270 average, 60 to 70 RBIs from the leadoff spot. You take that every day of the week. Now he's getting a little older and he's a bigger guy, and so he's going to end up moving to a corner outfield spot soon. But you can get a good 3 or 4 years out of him at this rate if he keeps healthy, stays healthy, and we need to start winning. So I'm going to say it again.
We got to win one for Nimmo.
We have a 5-year window for these guys right now.
All right, Marte. Let's not even go there. Daniel.
He's happier to looking at his clothes, taking pictures of himself with clothes and suits on,
and his wife.
Instagram and his wife. Beautiful woman. Blessings to you, Marte. Good job. But
we need you on the field, bud. Need you on the field. That was a huge loss for us. We had
everybody 90 and
16. Huh?
Everybody on the team sucked.
Yeah.
And then one of the guys that you expect to be there is not even there to suck. I mean, it was just a bad offensive.
One of the big pieces from last year. I mean,
big piece.
All right, Vogelback.
Oh.
We had him at 234, 14, and 46. He hit 233, 13, and 48. Holy crap. Wow.
That is really close to spot on.
Wow.
Pretty close. But that wouldn't have been bad if everybody else hit like they were supposed to hit.
Sadly, those numbers feel like they're right in the middle.
Those numbers are actually fairly decent numbers for the offense on this team.
Wow, maybe we should re-sign them.
Hey. No.
Listen, watch your mouth on this show, okay? Mama Farachi's on the other side. Don't be
crazy. let's talk about the couple of rookies here. Beatty, we had him at 266, 9 and 31, and that did not happen. He hit 212. Wait, he did hit 9 home runs and 34 RBI.
Okay.
Things are getting freaky now. Freaky.
You're upset because we know what we're talking about.
No, I'm freaky. I'm just like, no, that's good. It's good. We're the best. Hey, we said it. All right. Let's pause on Beatty for a second. There are some maybe here that think that this could potentially already be a potentially failed experiment. Rodriguez?
He's gonna get mad.
Rodriguez, what was your take on Beatty? Did he learn anything after being sent down?
He didn't have, I mean, he really didn't have to learn anything. Funny, I like
that's all you need to know about what producer Joe thinks about the subject.
And that's not the one who insulted him. It was you.
Wait. I didn't insult him. I just said what a potential thought of his was. You are now calling what his thought was stupid by saying that I insulted him by telling him what the thought was. Wow.
Yeah, that
All right, I'm done. Go ahead. You can talk, Rodriguez. Go ahead. I'm done.
Go ahead. What, Rodriguez, what's your thoughts on Beatty?
I think he did okay for a rookie, man. His average is going to be low because he's chomping at the bit, trying to swing at balls he shouldn't be swinging, getting out of his comfort zone, out of his swing zone. And he's just a rookie, man. But, you know, he hit 9 home runs. What are you driving, 30-something runs? He learned that he's got to be quicker on defense. That's what he needs to do. He needs to practice defense, get quicker, get better at third base. Otherwise, he's going to be gone because Mauricio's waiting to come and take it. You know, so you got Mauricio, you got Vientos. Vientos is not going to win it. Trust me. Forget about him. But Mauricio could take it. Okay? So Batty's just got to get better on defense.
We're going to send him this video, and he's going to bust his ass and be good in the field.
Send him to Chip. What's his name? Send him to Freddie Freeman in the all season. Have Freddie Freeman show him how to be a big lefty with a big swing and actually bat 300. He'll learn because – yeah. He could be just like him, man. He could be a vacuum at third, and he has a gun. He has a good arm. But he's a rookie, so another year, let him play. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Susan. Yeah, we do like a little Mauricio around here. I want to compare. So we didn't. That was it that we did for offensive players. But I want to. They had around the same number of at bats. So just comparing the two, Beatty and Francisco Alvarez. Alvarez, 382 at-bats this year. Beatty, 353. The average was around the same, which is what you kind of expect rookie coming up. 209 for Alvarez, 211 for – sorry, 212 for Beatty. But obviously on the flip side of this, the power was very, very much there for Alvarez. 25 home runs, 63 RBI, and he had just one more strikeout than Beatty. It felt like Alvarez struck out a lot, but just it one more than Beatty like and a lot, whole yeah. production, a ton more production. That's tougher.
He's trying to hit every ball out. That's his swing. You could see that he's trying to. Beatty, I'm pretty sure wasn't trying to. But you know, and then you got Alvarez who played more consistently than Beatty did. Beatty was a little bit in and out of the lineup sometimes, you know, and then he went down to the minors, had to come back. And in that meantime, I think Alvarez was playing, getting more experience. So I'm super excited about Alvarez. I think he did a lot better than I expected. You know, he's got the power, definitely has the power. And we can't have a team full of power guys that bat 200, dude, though. This has got to start cleaning itself up. I know we love the power and the home runs and chicks dig the long ball, but at the same time, man, you got a team full of 200 hitters, you're gonna end up being disappointed. We need these guys to start stepping up into 270, 280 ranges. That's how the Braves are winning. This guy Albies, Acuna, you know, when they had Freeman, when they had old, they
I hate
Olsen.
Them all.
I hate them all too, but they're winning because they're high batting average guys. And they're power guys, so we need our guys to make better decisions on when to hit for power and when to go for a hit. But we have a good set of rookies, dude. And you're not mentioning Vientos, who hit 9 home runs this year.
I'm getting there.
Come on, man.
But first, producer Joe asks, how many walks did Vogelbach have this year? I have it up in front of me, so I'm not going to guess. Rodriguez, 274 at
bats. You want me to guess? How many 274 out of those at bats, he walked a good 31 times.
So I'm curious, producer Joe, is the number that you okay? That was yeah. Was it higher or lower than what you thought it was going to be, Joe?
I was shocked because I saw his OBP was 339, and I'm like. I went back to look. I'm 42 walks. So, he's got some actually, like, comparatively, because we had higher expectations for every player on our team, at least from a batting average perspective.
Stop. Don't do that. I'm a big guy camaraderie thing. Don't do that camaraderie thing.
Wait, no, you don't chant the man's name. But he had some of the worst takes that I've seen.
Just sitting there.
Fastball, meatballs down the middle.
He's so easy to bitch to. Once they figure it out, he can't get a hit off of you because he can't bend over to hit that outside corner. It's in every freaking game. He's
Are you talking about me or Vogelback?
Yes.
Yes. There's somebody in the comments talking about McCann, who cannot be mentioned until there's a joke made. That's the reason why that it had to be McCann that ruined the Orioles' chances. He played a vital part in that offense.
There it is. The jinx.
Jimmy
Tate.
Hey, Ted.
Now it's tough for us to go through the pitchers because the top three of the top four that were supposed to be in there are Scherzer, Verlander, and Carrasco. And we don't necessarily want to go through that. So let me start off with Kodai Senga. We had expectations for this man. I didn't realize how low we had his ERA. We had him at 13-7. That's okay. Right, Terzio. 13-7, a 3.25.
You said his name. You see, you messed up, you big
puppy. Damn it, he got me.
Terzio,
wait, this is another one, Rodriguez. Okay. We had him at 13-7, a 3.25 ERA. His actual record was 12-7.
Mm-hmm.
Off by one. 2.98 ERA. Not off by much. So color the people, the guys on the Put in the Book show, not surprised at what happened here with Kodai Senga.
What a great is a beast.
Just unbelievable. It had the highest swing and miss percentage out of any pitcher's pitch in all of baseball.
It
57 drops. Or 61% or some craziness.
It just drops. And he knows when to throw it, and he has good control, and he has a slow delivery to the plate. Then next thing you know, it's 95, 97. So, you know, of course that's going to make it harder for you to
hit. He can throw it any count, too.
He throws it in every count. He has a curveball,
total command.
Too. That's the pitcher, dude. That's the pitches we used to have in the old days before everybody said throw 100 miles an hour on every single pitch. You know, guys like that, you know, Senga. So, I appreciate watching him, man. He's fun to watch because he battles and he – And you see that he's out there trying to pitch his game. He doesn't give in. I've seen him where he could throw a courtesy fastball down the middle just to get over and get out, where you could have done that, and he doesn't. He still tries to hit that corner and nitpick, which I appreciate that. That's ace mentality. That's Mad Max mentality. You know, I know you guys hate him, but that's his mentality. You got to attack the hitter. You know, don't be a coward, Tyler. Don't be a coward, Peterson. Ooh. Attack the hitter.
Shots are being fired here. Just a few more stats on Senga. He 166 innings pitched, which is fine these days, I guess. 126 hits given up in those 166 innings. Very good. 60 runs in those innings, 55 of them earned. He's a control guy, five hit by pitches, 202 strikeouts in 166 innings.
But he's a power guy too. He has a power fastball. It's not a baby pitch, So he's controlling power, and you know, I'll tell you about a couple of pitches in the Mets minor leagues that are controlling and good ERA guys. And we have coming up. So we'll talk about that some other time. But
yeah,
that's what you want in your pitching staff.
Exactly. And hitters hit .208 combined against him. So not much more we can say about Senga. I don't know where the hell we would have been without Senga this year. But
last place. How about this last place without Senga?
Total embarrassment. Tyler McGill, we had him at 6-6, 4.17 ERA. He wound up going 9-8, 4.70 ERA.
See?
I can't, there's not a lot of good to say about him as far as stats are concerned. He had a couple of good starts there down the stretch run, but hitters overall hit .282 against him. He wasn't fooling anybody.
No.
You ain't fooling nobody, huh?
You can't fool anybody if you get behind on the count. If you're constantly at 3-1, you're gonna get hit. That's just what it is, you know. He wanted to throw hard. He wanted to be one of these hard thrower guys. So he throws hard for the first two innings. Then the third inning, all of a sudden, drops down 5 miles an hour, and he still tries to throw by you. You know, just use your brain, dude. You want to be a pitcher, not a thrower. How tall is he? Like 6'7", 6'8", this kid? Or what is he? He's a big goop, the big drip. You were the big drip. You were the big drip, but not in a cool way, in a bad way, okay, Tyler? So get some control, man. Get some control and attack the hitter in the first two or three pitches. Don't back away and be a coward, man. Attack this guy. Come in on them. You know, throw the ball down the middle, throw the ball on the outside. But stop walking people. Stop being out of the zone, man. I'm challenging the man with Tyler.
105 strikeouts. That ratio is not gonna get it done.
Of course not. It's just being a coward. You can't be a coward and be a pitcher. You just can't be. I'm sorry to say that.
Somebody with a slightly, ever so slightly better strikeout to walk ratio. We gave far too much credit this year. We had David Peterson at 10-7, a 3.95 ERA. I really wish that he would have come close to something like that. But he wound up struggling all year, up and down, coming out of the pen, doing this, doing that. 3-8, 5.03 ERA.
Terrible year. Terrible year.
Batters hit .287 against him.
The same thing as Tyler, dude. The same exact thing as Tyler. You know, you pitch backwards. You pitch scared. You're not aggressive. You fall into 3-1 counts, and they smack you around. You know, that's why you got almost a 6.0 ERA. You don't even make the minor league team with that ERA. They kick you out. They don't even let you come back. It's embarrassing. Yeah. You know, the same thing. As long as these two guys come back and attack the hitter, attack the zone, instead of always backing out, even if this stuff sucks, have some control then. It's control of power, you know.
This is how many years is this now going to be going into this next spring training that they're going to be competing?
The third year, right?
Peterson pitched in the 2020 year. In the COVID year, so this will be his fourth.
Okay,
we really liked him then. We thought he's young.
He has
he's
talent.
Old, so
lefties can develop later, and usually do for some weird reason. That's a baseball thing. They just develop a little later. Next thing you know, they become great pitchers in the later years. But because they don't want to throw as hard, they start letting the natural flow of being a lefty go, and the ball moves when you're batting against a lefty. It moves differently. The lefties can just make it dip like nobody knows. It's amazing. But
different arm angles.
You have to learn different arm angles, different ways that ball moves from a lefty. So you learn these things, but Peterson's got to learn it quick, man. He's going to find himself on another team because like I said, if I'm talking about our pitching staff for next year, I'm talking about taking these two guys and playing them together with one pitcher. I'm not even talking about splitting them. I'll use one of them in the bullpen, whoever can handle it the best. But I'm pitching them on the same day. They're four inning pitchers. They got nothing else. They haven't shown me anything else. They're four inning pitchers, maybe five inning pitchers. They get a game. They get the fourth slot.
Terzio is talking about Bassett with 16 wins and Walker with 15, but you can't just copy and paste what they did in those on those teams to what the, you know, the Mets. You can't just say, okay, bring
the Mets didn't hit.
It would have been 31 wins for them.
They wouldn't have won those games. And with the Mets, the way they were hitting, they would not have won those games. They would have been under 500 before they got traded. Just like
right. A couple more quick hits before we head on out for today. Quintana.
We had him
as a solid guy, and we made these predictions after he got hurt in the World Baseball Classic. But say he went 7 and he didn't go 7-5. We projected him 7-5, 3.97 ERA. He finished with a 3.57 ERA and deserved much better than a 3-6 record. I think he came in and he competed very well. He pitched very well. He's a smart dude. He doesn't have to overpower, right?
For a bad team, right. Really.
Very, we were a bad team. Start, 3-6, 3.57 ERA.
He should have won more. It's a shame. But I respect him. I like him. I'll keep him. I hope he stays. Well, we got him for another year, right? So, you know.
Right. That's right. We'll see how that transpires. He'll be part of it next year. He's just that solid guy that you can count on. A reliable pitcher who's a professional dude and knows how to pitch. I hesitate to go through the bullpen just because it was just a complete disaster. As soon as you lost, listen, I know that we on this show and Met fans said after Diaz went out last year that the Mets can piece it together, you know, that Robertson would have been there, and Robertson was great all year.
He was there. He did his job.
Rest of the dudes were kind of breaking down. We started off well, and then the bullpen started breaking down because the starting pitching wasn't going deep enough. Verlander was out. Scherzer wasn't pitching Scherzer like earlier in the year. Then he got hurt. Carrasco sucked. No other way to say that. And then McGill and Peterson. These are the guys that were pitching four innings to get to the pen, and the pen was depleted after like the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, after about a month. It took a month to hurt the pen, you know. But it all started with the starting pitchers and the offense not hitting. It was a bad year, dude. It was easily. You could see what happened, and hopefully they can remedy that. But that's why you don't take these guys like Peterson and Tyler and give them a job, give them a slot. Don't give them a slot. Make them earn the slot. Put them both in the bullpen and have them pitch one game. They could be bullpen guys. They throw hard enough.
It's time for them to step up. It's crazy. Salute.
Thank you. Sorry.
Two other guys that I want to make mention of as good stories. We're going to close it out. Let's close it out on a good note here. Jose Buto, 1-4 record, 3.64 ERA. Pitched well down the stretch. Pitched deeper than he had ever gone into games, which was great to see because he had always been this five-inning guy.
I think he was less than a five-inning guy.
Three
or four-inning guy. Don't be nice.
Sorry.
Spit it out.
But he went 8 innings one game. He went 7 innings a different game, and he pitched well. He was efficient. That's going to be him going forward. But at least we saw a glimmer of what he can do.
Again, another guy that at this point in his career, he may be a 5-7 inning guy. I mean, He did well for the Mets. And here's the thing, though. You can't say that he didn't pitch against good teams because the Mets played a lot of playoff-bound teams at the end of the year. They were spoilers. And this kid was pitching against guys that really needed to win and really needed to get hit. So they were trying their hard against them. So he did the job against real playoff-bound teams with real major league hitters. He did his job. And he kept the ball down, moved it in and out, chased speeds, that's all it takes to be a decent pitcher. And nowadays, when everybody's swinging for the fence, that's all it takes. So, Jose Buto, congratulations to you, man. I hope you can compete for a spot next year as a mid-starter, because I'm still only giving you half a game.
Put pressure on these other guys, Peterson and McGill. No, Terzio. Terzio says, between Peterson and McGill, you got 12 wins. They're better than Walker and Bassett. Is that what you're saying? I don't remember saying anything remotely close to that. All I said was you can't copy and paste wins. You can't take McGill and Peterson and put them on the Phillies and the Blue Jays and say they're going to get 12 wins. They probably get more wins because those teams probably scored more runs than the Mets did this year and had better bullpens than the Mets this year. If you bring Bassett and Walker here, they probably don't win 31 combined games for the Mets this year. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Not with the offense, the way the offense played.
Mm-mm. No. The other guy I want to just give a quick shout to is Joey Lucchese. 4-0, 2.89 ERA. Also went deeper into games. I mean, his arm, it's been fresher. He hasn't pitched as many innings since the injury. But I'd like to see that too. He was also more efficient than what he had been before. So I like to see these two guys put pressure on Peterson and McGill in spring training and say, look, do it or you're shipped to the pen, or we put you in a package for a couple of extra garbage cans for the dugout.
Why do we even have to get rid of them or do anything with them if we don't have to pay guys to come in, guys that we don't know? Why don't we take these four guys, put them in the pen? Okay, give them a game to start every week. Mix and match them, Lucchese and Peterson, and then do Tyler and Buto, or Tyler and Peterson, Tyler and Lucchese. Put them in a game, man. Let them use them up. They're better pitchers when they pitch less innings, obviously. They're stronger pitchers. So we have it there. Use them up. I would. I mean, that's the way I would manage them. It might seem crazy, but I'll give them a routine. Every fourth game, every fourth slot, it's one of you two guys. So be ready. And I'll let them know a few days ahead of time. That's it. It's all about the team. If they don't want to be on a team, then they can get the fork out.
Isaac says, get the trash cans. Terzio says, the manager's gone, general manager's gone, but Vogelback is still on the team. They don't have to cut him right now. They just have to non-tender him. They just have to not offer him a deal.
Yeah, but he goes into the stadium and eats the food, okay? He's eating the food. He's walking around the back and going into the buckets and stuff and eating the food.
Danny Burgers. Right?
So he's costing him more money.
Where's he playing winter ball at, Dom? He's not playing winter ball. He's going back home to relax with the wife, have a nice Christmas, play Santa, get ready for the next phase of his life. Because it ain't baseball. Here's the thing. Somebody, if he pops up with the Angels next year and Buck's there, now we know some shit's going on.
Then we know it's a lie. But you know what? Sometimes somebody just does a good job and you want to keep them around. You know what I'm saying?
Terzio says Burgers along with DJ Stewart got the outfield covered. DJ Stewart, I think, played fine.
If DJ Stewart loses a few more pounds, right?
Okay. But I'm saying I don't think we should have Vogelback and Stewart in the same sentence.
No, it makes no sense.
Like making fun of them.
One actually plays the
field. Can you imagine Vogelback playing right field?
Come on, man.
If the right fielder glitches, he just stands there.
Yeah, exactly. He's the prototypical guy you put in right field. He's the guy you said, hey, you. Oh, yeah, you're going to right field, buddy. He's that guy. In softball. And he's going right field in softball, which is the worst position ever. Or catcher.
Danny Burgers.
He's the catcher, right? Producer Joe, he's the catcher. I'm going to be up here in a minute.
Producer Joe fell asleep.
He must have fallen asleep.
All right. Wow. All right. So that's the way to recap what we predicted versus what happened.
By the way, I realize that I have a large mole on my face.
Where?
I didn't say the magic word. It happens. Dom said DJ actually did good and hit pretty good too. He was, you know, he was the hottest hitter in baseball for like a 3-week stretch, hitting bombs out there. Now that's he's that player in stretches. He's not that player as a starter. He's that player in stretches and off the bench.
He's a bench guy.
No, nobody get any crazy ideas here.
But he's if he plays that well and he plays hard, he's a pretty decent guy to have on the bench and give you starter day off.
Dom's been asking about Pete. So we're not going to go into some of the off-season stuff. When there is what we've normally done over the years, when there is news, we pop on and we go through and discuss some offseason. We could even play some games, you know, free agents, spin the wheel, our list. Good idea. But in short, Dom, I think Pete Alonso stays long term with the Mets. I know that there's rumor about the Cubs, but
I don't think Cohen would let that happen. You have two Met fans running the Mets now. You have the owner who's a huge Mets fan, and you have the general, the president of operations, the next head guy, who's a born Met. You have those two guys at the top. They're not going to let us fail without putting in their best effort. So expect this team to be good next year and better beyond. And we're not going to let a guy like Polar Bear go. It's just not going to happen. It would be the weirdest thing ever. It would be nuts if he did that. But
and don't worry about the Boris thing. I know Boris, you know, over the years when we've heard that
Boris
name, we've been
this,
like,
dude.
Yeah,
this is
we didn't
Boris
have
likes.
It before. He didn't like
have
us then.
We have it now.
We came in for some money over the years.
Dude, he's gonna he loves it.
Nimmo was, even though there were rumors about the Mariners and this, it was never really
he
close.
Wasn't he wasn't going anywhere, no.
Yeah.
He's a man.
Not going anywhere. No, I don't think the Cubs are talking about Alonso specifically. I think it's just a rumor mill that's been brought up, and people put fantasy trades together as if it's fantasy. By the way, congratulations, Rodriguez, on winning the fantasy baseball championship this year.
Thank you very much.
You're on quite the roll.
To you, two-time champ, back-to-back, football and baseball.
Milagros. Hola.
Actually, I should just stand like this. I should just stand like this. Like, look at me.
Do you want to be crowned also?
I do need a Ric Flair type of crown. I do need a belt. You should have a belt, Brachi. These two leagues are your creation.
I completely agree with that.
As the only two-time back-to-back champion in the PCP division.
You gotta say dual sport. Okay? You're like
I'm a dual sport. I'm like Bo Jackson. I'm like Deion Sanders.
Not don't say Deion. The Cowboys and he's gone.
That was enough. That was enough.
I don't get it.
You're basking in glory.
It's not fair. I can't even enjoy myself as the only two-time dual sport PCP champion.
Oh my god. By the way, in the football league, I am now 0-5. I got injuries up the wazoo. You got a big injury. You got Justin Jefferson.
I always get a big injury. Dude,
but this is a big one.
I got it covered. I'll figure something out. I am the back-to-back champion. Dual sport, PCP.
Freaking producer Joe. Can't wait to play him. I'm going to beat him. All right. So, look, that was the short answer. Pete's staying, but we'll talk more about it in the offseason. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. That does it for us this week, this episode on the Put in the Book show. We're going to be transitioning over to our off-season shows once we get to that point, a little after the World Series. That's when the juicy stuff starts happening with the stupid nonsense that's going to drive us nuts. The Ohtani thing is going to be insane. This is going to be a wild off-season just because of Ohtani. But and then you'll also have Soto on the trade market. It's going to be a wild, wild.
That's my guy. That's wild, my wild guy.
All right, Rodriguez, let's get some thoughts on the way out here. What you got?
As long as it's not the Phillies or the Braves, that's all I'm going to say. That's my only final thought. We'll talk about the Mets next week or the week after.
Agreed, 1,000%. As long as it's not the Phillies and the Braves.
Let's go, Mets.
Or the Rangers.
Or the Astros. No, all the Rangers. I don't care. All the Rangers.
But we can't want the Astros to win either. It's Diamondbacks or bust.
It's got to be Diamondbacks. It's got to be Diamondbacks.
Why do the baseball gods hate us so much?
I don't know. That little weird guy they have on the Diamondbacks, Coco Chanel, yeah. What's his name? The
Coco rookie Beware. Guy.
Coco Beware.
He's dead.
Coco
he Beware died.
Not dead. Did he die?
Did he not
no
die?
No way. Coco Beware did not die.
The bird
the
died.
The bird died.
The bird definitely died.
I don't know. We got to figure out Coco Beware died before we go to get off the air. This is very important.
This is vital. This is vital. Coco Beware is not dead.
Batman.
Not dead yet.
Good job, Batman.
65 years old. Not dead yet. 65 years old. What do you mean he retired? Wait a second. Why? What do you mean he retired in 2019? What does that mean?
He just retired. What's he doing? Coco Beware. Independent stuff.
He's been doing this since the 90s?
He's still doing the
bird flap and the... All right.
A lot slower, like this now. He goes like this.
All right. Let's go to producer Joe. Jets, baby. See? The bad juju from baseball season moved into the bad juju from
the football season. Mark Gastineau's got commercials now about old people. Mark Gastineau, you seen the Mark Gastineau old people commercials? He's got some kind of commercials.
Old people commercials.
I don't know.
No offense, Garzio. Or producer Joe. Producer Joe, what you got on the way out of here?
I got nothing. Let's go Diamondbacks. Let's go Phillies just to get the Braves out. Let's go Diamondbacks. And then let's go Diamondbacks again. Everybody else sucks. Let's see what happens on October 31st when council is available. We'll have a show after that. I guess we'll have manager news then, you know.
I not like him because he was a Marlin?
Yes.
Is that why?
Correct.
That's part. Okay.
Yes.
And that stupid celebratory, he had the walk up.
You know what? Okay. And because he's got this annoyingly likable face, you know, that it's like, you know, you just know he's a nice guy. You just know he's a nice guy. I want to just slap him.
That's
so,
what an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got some nerve.
Nobody likes a nice guy. Nobody.
Hey, Harper's up with a runner on second. Here we go.
I hate that douche. Lois Lane died, passed away today from Superman, but
Noel Neal? That one?
I haven't seen. All right.
I'm
gonna
go hit her.
Let's get up on out of here.
Yeah. All right.
Not Margot Kidder? A critter?
Margot like Kidder. Kidder.
No, Kidder.
Margot Kidder. Yeah.
I heard critter. Like a critter. I thought you were calling her a critter. Die. She just died. What are you? So insensitive.
So are you.
Didn't. Guy, my apologies to Coco Beware for killing you. 65. He's going strong. All right. That'll do it for us this week.
Margo Kidder died 5 years ago.
So
which Lois Lane died? Yeah, I'm looking for an old one. I'm looking for age. I went to age. I'm sorry, older people. I went to the age thing.
Phyllis Coates.
Huh?
Phyllis Coates.
Not the one from... Who the hell is Phyllis Coates?
The first actress to play Lois Lane. She's 96
years
old.
She was like 179.
Cocoa Puffs. All right.
And Coco Beware.
This is getting cuckoo for Coco. off the rails. Let's get up on out of here. We will revisit this in the off season. What's going on from the managerial standpoint, from the players' standpoint. We will celebrate when Vogelback is non-tendered. this off season, and then we get ready for spring training, baby.
Party time!
Let's get up on out of here. Peace out, everybody. Let's go, Mets.
Dude. Put up the bucks.